We are all lack of mindfulness, the whole hall. So it's really important you need to practice until the mindfulness comes up automatically. Don't allow yourself to waste the time or just get lost in thoughts and totally forget about having mindfulness. Because the mind will gain this mindlessness habit. So we need to instill a new habit. Try to practice, even though you have only 3 or 5 minutes. Be mindful about everything. Actually, most of the people here look better, seem to be better. Before Dhamma talk, usually you just spend time lost in thought. But these days, many people try to be mindful and get ready for the talk. The goal or the task to get yourself out of all suffering is not an easy thing. But is it really worth it to just allow yourself to just stay and live your life in suffering? And since we already find a way to get out of it, why not? Why not try to do the best with it? A long time ago when he started practicing, he felt that his mind and his self was locked up in a cell. He couldn't bear it, the feeling. He just felt that there's something wrapping and caging the mind. So he was trying to find a way out to break this cell, this cage. At the time, he didn't have much experience or knowledge. So the first thing he came up with was trying to do concentration meditation. He achieved a certain level of concentration. He could enlarge or make the brightness or the light that he saw bigger or smaller. So he tried that for a while, and he found that even a delicate or deep level of concentration couldn't break the cage. And then he remembered that he read or heard Luang Pu Dun's teaching once that the mind was trapped in a cage, so-called cage, and the only thing to break away from it, to liberate the mind or yourself, is only through Nirvana. The word cage or trap or cell, each master might use different terms, but in a sense, in the theory of it, it's like the mind is being trapped with all defilements or not knowing or ignorance. So only through practicing and reaching enlightenment, your mind can be liberated. When you reach each level of enlightenment, it will close up again if you not reach the full enlightenment just yet. But that would be temporary break. When Lung Po experienced that, he couldn't bear it. His whole heart and soul couldn't bear the fact that he felt trapped. So he tried to find a way out. It was like a greater suffering, in fact, because once he know that the mind is trapped and he still couldn't find the way out of it, it's like living in his jail for the rest of his life. Or, for example, if a child is born in with the mother being a jailmate, their first years, early years in the prison with the mom, it meant that they wouldn't see the world outside. But once they find a window or some way to peek, have a peek of the world outside, then the suffering would happen to the child, because they know there's more out there. So Long Po tried so many techniques, thinking that believing there should be a way out to break this cell. So not only with a strong belief, you have to be diligent in practice as well, to cultivate the mindfulness, to make it happen automatically and naturally and as often as possible. And it's not only the mindfulness that is important, awareness or consciousness or understanding is really important too. There are different aspects to consciousness that should be with the mindfulness. So the first aspect is you need this consciousness or understanding to know what knowledge or information that is essential to know. The second aspect of this consciousness or understanding is whether things is suitable for you, is appropriate for yourself. And what is appropriate or suitable for each person is different. So you need to assess yourself and see what is suitable or appropriate for you personally. For example, for Long Po, he finds that Anapanasati or breathing meditation is suitable and appropriate for him to cultivate concentration. And mindfulness or observing the mind, mind contemplation, is the appropriate technique for him to do vipassana. And once you find the technique or the approach that is suitable for him or for you, just be diligent in practice in doing it. The difference between mindfulness and consciousness or this understanding sometimes is very subtle. Actually, what we have to understand is they work together. For example, when you try to do concentration meditation, if your mind is lost in that object and has no mindfulness intact, then there's no mindfulness or consciousness. Basically, it's really important you need to assess yourself to see what technique or teaching or approach is suitable for you. You need to find a way for yourself in order to break free from all the suffering and ignorances. And you need intelligence and belief to keep yourself going in practicing. You need to cultivate the new habit for the mind. And once the mind can act automatically, can be mindful and conscious automatically, then you start walking the path to wisdom. With the right mindfulness, that's the only way you can cultivate the right wisdom, the right path. And you need morality or precepts as a firm, solid foundation to build that. For everyone, monks or lay people, we need at least, well, for us, we need at least the 5 precepts as a firm foundation. One of the hardest precept or code that difficult for people in the society, in the world, is the 4th one. It's actually about the right speech. But these days, with technologies, it's also including the right text, SMSing, or whatever, social media. It's everything about communication. So we have to set the right goal, the right aim for yourself, for your life. For a practitioner is to get out, to break free from suffering and ignorances. We possess the right combination. First, we are human, and most of us doesn't have any disabilities that would be obstruct us from learning. Like we still have hearing or sight or intellect in order to comprehend and learn. And most of us don't really have that thick or bad delusion. So we can temporarily or momentarily break free from delusions in order to learn and cultivate new habits. So all this, including morality, mindfulness, concentration, and consciousness can be cultivated through practice. And we shouldn't waste time because we don't know what might happen in the future. Like today, you still have your hearing, so better start learning and hear all this teaching now, because one day you might lose the hearing. So, and another good aspect that we possess that make us suitable for practice is that we haven't done any grave sins, like hurting the Buddha or killed our parents or break up the sanghas. He's explaining breaking the sanghas is the act only can be achieved by the monks, but we can, well, be a part of it and, you know, be the culprit. We are ready. We are in a good, we have good combination and readiness to practice and advance and progress. So there's still chance for us to reach, to enter enlightenment. So we need to start off with assessing yourself to find a suitable approach or technique, and don't waste your time. Even you have only a few or a couple minutes, don't waste it. Even though while you're at work and your work requires so much of the brain power or thinking, and you get so wrapped up in it, a suggestion is to take a break every now and then, like every hour. For example, for Long Po, when he was still work, when he was still a layman, he would take a toilet break every hour. And during the break, he would feel his body moving, walking to the loo, you know, doing all the business, feeling that the foot, the leg, the feet, the legs. And then after the business, his mind, his heart felt lighter, comfortable, more comfortable. And he would notice and observe those changes. Actually, it's a good practice when you're going to the toilet, because your feeling, your emotions change. So even though you were so wrapped up in thinking and you couldn't really observe the mind, but after, you know, observing the body for just only a few minutes, walking to and back from the toilet, and you feel the change in your feelings after being done with the businesses, then you can go back to observe. Well, that means you can already go back to observing the mind, yeah? You don't have to do it to practice all the time or try to be mindful all the time, because that's so unnatural and that would be too forceful and would cause you over-focusing. And your mind would be too stiff, too unnatural, and has all this negative energy. So just do it casually. Do it as often or as much as you can without forcing yourself to. Continue on with the example of going to the loo. When you come walk back from the toilet and you meet a colleague along the way, and you stop to chat, or you are forced to chat, you will have different emotions, yeah? If it's with the person you like, your heart would be joyful and you can laugh and have a good chat. But if it's with somebody you don't like, and your mind is heavy, anger arises, and you need to control yourself and force yourself to be socially acceptable. Those are different emotions and effects on you. Just observe those. This is a type of how to practice in daily life. When you meet different person and different emotions arise, like stressful emotion or happiness, or you know, just observe those changes. And even when you walk or sit or in any postures, you can observe your body, and that's also the practice in daily life. It's not about the steps of how to move, 1, 2, 3, how slow it should be, you know. Those are just very superficial level of how to practice. It's perhaps good for the beginners, but for all practitioners, it's really important to integrate it in the daily life, a normal routine, in a natural way. Now he was just telling that the other day he went to the resort that many people stay. That resort is close by here, so many people who want to come to the temple for a certain period of time and don't have a place to stay, they usually go there. So he stopped by to see how it is. After seeing it, he understand now why some people actually like going there, because like for city people, they're afraid of the dark or somewhere too natural, like in the forest or even here in the temple. So they choose to stay somewhere with all these concretes and buildings. So he said it's actually because you're stuck with this. In fact, you need to be able to, basically you need to be able to practice anywhere in any condition. So it's not actually a bad thing if you more comfortable being in the building than being in the nature. But for Long Pa, he finds that being in the nature is good for him. He prefers that, his mind prefers that. And sometimes you need to train your mind. Like, for example, do something that you initially are afraid of. Like, when Long Pa was still a layman, he stayed at the temple just to train his mind. And sometimes he walked into the cemetery just because he's afraid of the ghosts. So he trained himself that hard. And he learned about being lost in imaginations and all these destructive thoughts. So one day before he making up his mind going into the cemetery, he saw a dog. And the dog just walked in and out of the cemetery without any fear. So he said, if the dog could do it, he could too. So that was his decision. So it was an example from him that we need to be able to practice anywhere. Train yourself, train your mind. And sometimes just understand it's only in your imagination. Like sometimes when you stay in the nature and you heard weird noises banging on your wall from the outside, and some people just might think that it was ghost and got so afraid. But actually it could be a gecko or a big lizard or some type of animal catching a prey and try to eat it. So they bang the prey, what they caught, the food, against the wall and make those noises. So be logical. Don't just lose yourself in imaginations. So sometimes it's good to be in a place where you have lots of fear or afraid of something, because your mind would stay really awake and alert, and you can see all these changes of emotions if you feel some negative or unwholesome feeling, some people use puto or chanting mantra to help calm themselves to gain some concentration. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But you see all these changes. And this might also be a good lesson for you too, that being in the nature, being in this real world, you are not saying you are not really that big or that good or that clever. Unlike what you might feel, what you might feel when you are at work, because here you are helpless and fearful and shaking, you know. So it's a good training, it's a good lesson for the mind to learn. So it's actually a good thing if you try practicing in a place that you're not familiar with or don't feel really comfortable with, like in a temple or in a nation. Because then you don't have anything else you can hold on to but tamma or practice. Some of the temples in other cities, in the faraway places, sometimes the people practice in a cave. He's telling a story about a nun made a decision to practice in a cave and made a promise to herself that she wouldn't come out until she would come out after 7 days. During the 7 days, she said she met a ghost or experienced some type of a ghostly experiences. And she was close to packing and stepping out of the cave. And then she realized her promise. So she stopped herself just at the edge of the cage and went back inside. She tried to calm herself by chanting mantra or chanting puto repeatedly. And she succeeded staying in there for 7 days. So after that, they named the cave the Cave of Truthfulness. He would not suggest female practitioners to go to those rustic or faraway places because it's too dangerous. People, human beings, are dangerous, no matter status, position they are in. So it's not really safe for female. So it doesn't mean the female practitioners are in a lesser opportunities, because with the notion that you should be able to practice anywhere, you can just stay at home and do it. And these days, there are not many places in the nature that we can actually go, because it's many of them become reserved or destroyed. So they prohibit even monks to get into the forest this day, because sometimes they start doing all the settlement and destroy the nation. So basically, the point is sometimes it's good to train your mind in a harsher environment, but in fact, you need to be able to practice anywhere. You should aim for breaking free from all the ignorances. Should learn to understand that actually the mind is good, but what makes it bad is the wrong view and defilements. So if we continue to succumb or to be wrapped around by the power of all these ignorances and defilements, that means the mind would just stay ugly, dirty, and just sink in the sufferings Okay, and precepts or moral codes are really important as well as a solid foundation to build up the consciousness, mindfulness, and wisdom. For example, in the five precepts, the last one, the fifth, is about alcohol or fermented drinks. People wonder why it's important. It's actually because this kind of thing cloud your mind and prevent you from having mindfulness, or can keep other precepts. If you will basically break precepts when your mind is under substances, you need to have a stable or impartial observer. In order to have that, just start by practicing observing the mind wandering off. So once you notice that the mind has wandered off, that's mindfulness right there at the moment. And so if you keep noticing the wandering off, you know, getting lost, and then have the mindfulness, and you know, keep doing this, keep practicing this, then the right type of concentration that would help you have the impartial and stable observer would come up, would arise. So you have plenty of time to practice even in your daily life. Just don't waste it. Even a few minutes here and there, it's actually really important. Few minutes contributing to your progress. So, and some people just think that they have to come here or to meet Long Po in order to make some progress. Actually, it's not true. As long as you practice, you are kind of like meeting with Long Po. Okay, so that's it for the first session. Thank you.